You ever take your dog out to piss and then immediately feel like you have to go too and just think, I just want to piss out here?
I've done that.
Okay, it's not...
Not just thought that. I've just gone with him before.
I haven't just because I'm in a whole neighborhood and shit. I'm in the front yard all the time.
To be fair, I haven't done it here, but I've done it when I was way younger and probably in a more open neighborhood.
But not like as a fully functioning adult of like...
Oh, no, I was drunk.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah.
Cue the intro.
This is Wasted Information. Wasted Information.
This is Wasted Information. I'm Jimmy.
I'm Brandon.
What you drinking, Brandon?
I really hope I haven't done this one. I don't think I have. Halfway Home American Pale Ale from Country Boy Brewing.
How is it?
It's good.
Well, so far we've only had two episodes uploaded, so I don't think it was in the last two, so we're good.
That's very fair, yeah. No, I really don't think I've... I drink so many by Country Boy Brewing and West 6th because they're local to where I'm at. This one's really good. I'll give you the description. This is the carrot on the string, the reminder you are halfway home to that well-deserved reward. It's time to buckle down, get the job done, because our easy drinking pale pails, Jesus Christ, because our easy drinking pale pairs well with gumption, hard work, and good old stick-to-itiveness. Well, after four drinks, that's how you read it.
I'm just saying, I'm impressed that you got stick-to-itiveness out in one shot. I wouldn't have gotten it.
Yeah, it was the alliteration that threw me off.
I couldn't say maple in our last episode.
You said it was again, alliteration. It was making maple.
Yeah, I wasn't even supposed to say making or fuck maple. But you said you drink a lot of that. You drink a lot from that brand. I usually drink that much, like outside of like this podcast, or there's not too many social gatherings. But I'm on the back. But right now I'm on the back nine of a 6-pack. So
is it a 9-pack?
No, I'm halfway through the back nine.
Gotcha.
I'm on my fifth. I don't know where one of the cans went, but I'm missing an empty can. But I'm on.
That's fair. So, yes. What are you drinking?
Oh, I set the can down. I am drinking Fountain Square Brewing Company's Preacher's Daughter Amber Ale. Toasted caramel aromas precede hints of citrusy hops with a slightly sweet and nutty finish. I haven't had this one before, but they have a porter that I don't remember the name of, but then they have the working man.
You don't remember drinking it.
No, I've probably had it.
Gotcha.
There. But I don't remember the name. But then there's like the working man's like lager or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, I had that on an episode that probably won't see the light of day, but that was just like a super, just like a drinkable as a craft version of like a Budweiser.
Yep.
Which is right up my wheelhouse. But the other thing about Fountain Square, I was gonna say Brewing Company, but it says Fountain Square Beer Company, which threw me off. But then their logo says Brew Co. Huh. But either way, they have instructions on the can. 1, identify life moment. 2, bring perfect beer. 3, be a hero. And on the top it says for life's greatest moments. So I'm wasting it here.
So I was just realizing like my can. 1, I like that theirs always seem to have good descriptions like about the beer. When mine was like a weird story, but I'll give them that. They're creative, I guess. So for what it's worth, they have the little like love your country, please recycle. Yeah, because it's Country Boy Brewing. These are the ones. It annoys me every time because they still use the old fashioned like 6-pack, like plastic ring holders instead of the like things that just clip, like the hard plastic that clips over the top.
The one that makes you feel like you're going to rip the top off of the can.
Yes.
But they're more environmentally conscious. I like the ones that are the 6-pack rings, but they make them out of like cardboard. I mean, they don't hold up well, but they're way more biodegradable.
Yeah, so the co-op I'm having, they have the hard top, like hard plastic 6-pack ones like you have right now.
Yeah.
They use those for the like make your own six pack ones. You just like clip your cans in there.
Ooh, that's fancy.
So that's kind of nifty. Yeah. So like if I wanted to, I can take mine back to them and they would reuse them.
Be like the alcoholic version of bringing your own bags. It's like, oh, I brought my own six pack holder and just clip them yourself.
They would totally let me do that. I mean, when I go to the like the there's a store by us that's specifically whiskey and wine. I have a little bag that's made to hold just six wine bottles. I take that with me, fill it up, and then usually buy a couple of bottles of bourbon.
Nice.
What were we talking? Oh, we were talking about our pups.
Yeah, we both got dogs. We both love dogs.
We do.
This topic basically came up for me because I had a text conversation with the owner of Indie Pets Lost and Found in Indianapolis / Marion County. Basically, on the east side of Indy where I work, I see a lot of like loose dogs, stray dogs. Mm. And my heart is to try to help them, like, but I know I can't do anything.
Yes.
But it's like, I don't know the number for animal control. I don't know who to call. I sat there Googling, trying to figure out someone to call. Then I found their website, which allows you to post like lost dogs, found dogs, or dog sightings. So I posted dog sightings. Granted, you put like your name and it's like your phone number for it. And I got a text that was from a random Indianapolis number that just said, I see dog. And I was like, what do I do with this? Like 20 minutes after I posted it, I just get a text from a random number that says, I see dog. Like, cool. Like,
cool, bro.
But like the next day, I saw a dog running around, kind of ran out in the road. It was like a husky. Looked like a younger male, but it was like, it wasn't like scared lost. It looked like it was just, it just got out and was just running doing around.
His thing. Yeah.
But I posted it. And then I got a text from the owner of that website, the nonprofit organization. And then instead of just like going, oh, okay, and leaving it alone, like I just started talking with him. So we just started texting back and forth for a little while. And I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but they seem really cool. They didn't say their name. Basically told me it's a nonprofit organization and Marion County is really fucking bad at their animal control. Like they're so understaffed, like underutilized. So there's not a whole lot of options for it. So this person basically has Indie Pets Lost and Found, like to try to help that, try to alleviate that. Cause something I was also told, well, cause one tip they gave me, which was really good because I usually carry treats with me anyway, seeing dogs that, and let me actually just pull up the text because it was something I never thought of, but it was very cool to hear. Cause they asked me to contact animal control if that dog was in the road because they care. They don't want the dog to get hit.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like, I just don't want the dog getting hit or still being lost this weekend when below freezing temps hit this weekend. All breeds can literally freeze to death in the elements with no food, water, or proper shelter. And they're like, they have a Facebook page. Animal control is terrible in Marion County. They aren't helping many lost pets in these temps. We have had several die of hypothermia or literally freezing to death. It's very painful. If you see a lost dog, just try to toss out any cheap jerky sticks or any type of food if you have it. This will at least give them some nutrients until we can hopefully get to them for help. So that's a good thing. It's like most of them don't have foods. So it was like, if you see a lost dog, like just give it some kind of food. Like you don't have to chase it down and like try to catch it. Give it some kind of food. Yeah. Like keep it going just a little
throw
longer.
It out your window. And
well, to them, because a lot of times they won't approach you. But that's then fair. They'll more, she said they'll more, well, he or she said they'll more likely stick around in that area if there's a food source, making it a lot easier for them to get to them.
That's fair.
But then one,
there's a
I was just going to say the other thing they told me, which we might have to cut out because similar to you talking about Russia last time, it's way more localized to the area.
What are you, indie cops going to come after you?
Oh no, opposite side. I don't want to get into, that's something that definitely needs to be taken care of, mind you, but I don't want to put that out there on the podcast with our information available. No, we're not. No, I'm editing it. But really. But they gave me a lot of good information and definitely someone I'd be willing to or I'd be happy to work with in the future too. About because I hate seeing dogs loose like that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a really good, I don't know that it's an actual organization, but there's definitely like the Lost Pets like Facebook group and stuff down here, and like a lost and found. There's two different ones down here. I see them cross post all the time. But yeah, they always have the like, if you find a dog or if you lost a, not just dog, they do, yeah, they don't do just dogs, they, you know, cats, whatever else gets out, but they always have a kind of a copy paste, like first comment. And it's like, oh, if your pets are out, you know, put their food out for them and they might come back and this and that, and like make sure you call the animal shelter and all these other things. But
yeah, that,
yeah, there's the part of me that's always like, if I see something running around, I want to help it. I haven't seen a whole lot down here. Like, we see a lot of cats, but you never know with a cat. Like, is it someone's cat or is it just a feral cat running around? Oh yeah,
that's a weird thing with animals too. Like, you see a cat and it's just like you barely notice it. You're like, oh, don't want to hit it, and it's just like, oh, wonder what that adventure. Or what adventure that cat's going on. If it's a dog, you feel immediately bad. It's like, I want to find that dog's home.
But I feel like it's a weird thing with like, because a lot of people just let their cats roam because they are so independent. Like, the cats will go out and they'll come back when they want to come back, when they need food, when they want to. Not, I mean, not every cat, but some people raise their cats that way. There's definitely
outdoor cats like that. Like the one, I don't know if you saw my snap the other day. I delivered to a house and it was a cat. It had a collar with a rabies tag on it and everything.
Yeah.
It just came up to, and I pet it, and then it was following back to my truck. And so I had to pick it up and put it back on the sidewalk, and then it walked right back to my truck. And then I was like, no, you have to stay. And then a bunch of other cats came out. I was like, is this your friend? Like, can you watch her while I leave? And then some guy happened to be walking down the street, so the cat, like, looked at him, and I left. But I definitely could have just taken that cat home with me.
Yeah. In my old neighborhood, there was a lot of, there was this, like, house on the, so like we lived in a townhouse neighborhood. Essentially, we lived, our setup was a square of townhouses with a field in the middle. But the end of ours, we were kind of in the middle. And at the end of ours was this old rundown, like, recluse who lived there. Old, you know, kind of guy by himself. No one ever saw him come out. He had a few cats in the house because you would see them up in the windows every now and then. But he had even more outside. And I don't know if they were his cats. They were just like the neighborhood feral cats. And he would just throw food out there and they would all come in and out of his back gate. So there's a whole slew of neighborhood cats. And I would post about them all the time. And I wrote stories about them.
Oh, like crazy their legs.
Personalities. Yep. The Chronicles of Crazy Legs, coming to probably nowhere near you anytime soon. But it was a good story on my Snapchat for when quarantine started. Around here, there's a few of them. There's definitely one black one that like kind of roams the neighborhood and I see him all the time. I've seen one recently, a newer one. It's kind of like a yellowish gray, and he's been hanging out like in my carport. Like, I wake up in the morning when there's snow on the ground, there's like kitty paws everywhere. And then like last night I turned on the light in my carport and he like kind of ran away, and I opened the door and he was like, what's going on? And he like stopped and he looked at me, and I tried to get him to come over, and you know, I was like, pss, 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 and he wouldn't come over. But
you did all you could.
I did everything. It was a cat. That's as much as you can do with a cat. Like, my neighbor, though, if you listen to the Happy Hour episode, they have a dog named Captain, who's my dog, Jack. It's his new best friend. He gets out. He's learned how to get out of their backyard. I think we might have talked about this
before. Yeah, he's the one you found in the front yard.
So I found him a few times now. So he's gotten out, and he was across the street once, and I, like, yelled his name, and he came back, and he went back in his yard. There's another time where he was, like, walking across my front yard. And I like went out there and I like, hey, Captain, come here. And he kind of walked up to me and I like pet him. And his owner was like in their front yard and he like went over to them. And then today when they were running around, my wife noticed, she's like, their gate's just open in their backyard. Like, he's just, luckily, like, he was preoccupied with running around with Jack, but he's like, his gate's open. And then at one point he just like left and just went out the gate. And I was like, all right, let me go put my shoes on. And I like went out there and like Captain's in our, it's very stereotypical, but there's a fire hydrant in our front yard and Captain was peeing on the fire hydrant. And I was like, Captain, what are you doing? And he like I opened the door and I think he knows the sound now when I open my front door. And he's like looked at me. And he's like wagging his tail. He was like about to come up to me and then he's like, nope. And he just like walked back up his driveway and went back in the backyard and ran with Jack a little bit more. I was like, what are you doing? And then I ended up taking Jack for a walk and I was like, I feel like Captain's just gonna come join us. Like but his owners came out again. They were taking out the trash or something. They let him in. But he's also the type of dog who's trained really well and won't necessarily run off. I mean, it's a new neighborhood, so who knows for him. But, like, he's used to staying close to his owners. And, like, if they come and park on the street and they let him out, he'll just run out of their car and, like, run up to the door and wait for them. So he's trained really well, and he's really good with people and everything. So I'm just afraid, like, someone else would see him and scoop him up.
Yeah.
And be like, no, I know that dog. Leave me here.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that, too, with my last job, when I'd see dogs regularly, like every 2 weeks, and some of them would come up to me, like even if the owner wasn't home, and mm-hmm. just been, I was like, you know how easy it would be for you to get kidnapped right now? Like anyone could, you would just jump in someone's car like nothing.
Yeah. I see it every now and then on the Lexington, like lost and found pets. Like sometimes it'll be like a loss and it's like someone legit kidnapped my dog.
Yeah.
Like I watched them kidnap my dog. So, I mean, it's not funny. It's awful. Yeah. Like, don't do that.
No, I've seen.
But most likely, yeah, it was for ill intentions.
Because that was when I lived in South Bend, my neighborhood, there was like a streak of dogs going missing. Like someone was like, yeah. They had a pit bull puppy that they literally let outside after a bath to like go to the bathroom and then like dry off a little bit outside. 5 minutes goes by, they go outside and it's gone. Like somebody hopped the fence and yep. just snatched it. And in my neighborhood wasn't good, I could say. But Molly, my dog, she's not very big, but I've always, anytime a car went by, like I'd always eyeball them like as big as I am. I'm just like, I wonder if someone would try me. If someone would like pull up like to try to like snatch Molly. Probably not with me.
I don't think they'd ever take a dog like out of your hands.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, especially of my size, at least.
Also, she's just a fluffy potato. What are they going to do with her?
Well, that's what they use for bait dogs and like dog fighting
that's,
rings.
That's right.
I'm saying the levels, like I would make John Wick look like a pacifist if somebody tried Ooh. Me, like tried to take Molly. Like the
You remember the time I thought I lost my dog in Chicago?
Was that when I was there?
No, because so we would take him to my college campus after I left, as I transferred schools. So it wasn't weird. I wasn't just like going back to my college.
Yeah, you're
campus.
Going back to your fraternity.
I was still friends with people who were there. I would go hang out with my friends who were still at that school. And I went with him a few times. And when he was really young, he would stay right next to me. Like he would never leave. And he's a Jack Russell Beagle. And they're kind of known for just tracking and doing their own thing. That's what they're bred for, both Jack Russells and Beagles. But he was always really good about it. He would never just run off. He was always right by me. So we would literally like play fetch across the quad. Like I would throw a ball or something for him, like across the field, like to the sorority houses when they were out. So he would just run over there and they'd be like, oh, look at the cute puppy. And he wasn't paying attention to them. He would grab the ball. And then just run back to me. So it was always a good, like, you know, I do that a few times and then they get interested, right? Yeah. You know, that's how it goes. And there was like a little fence around the quad, but there was like ways to get out and go into the neighborhood. And we were on the south side of Chicago.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a great neighborhood if you got out of the fence.
I wouldn't even go so far as to say it's a good neighborhood.
No, it's not.
Across from the White Sox stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was fine. He was young and I don't remember what it was. I had to run to like 7-Eleven or something real quick, like literally to the convenience store, like across the street. And I was like, yo, like someone watch my dog. Like I had him, like I took him like up to like the second or third floor and like gave him to someone and like, or like left him up there. And I was like, he'll be fine. There's multiple doors in between here and getting outside. He's not going to get outside. People know where he's at. I ran back. It was like 10 minutes max. I was there and back. And I was like, my dog is gone. And I was like, the fuck, dude. So like, I like searched the whole house. I was like up and down, yelling his name. Like I ran up and down the stairwell, like downstairs, upstairs, in the basement. I ran outside. I was running, went out of the campus, was literally south side of Chicago, running through the streets, the alleys, like yelling his name, just looking up and down, could not find him. Like, ran into just street people in Chicago. I mean, people you probably wouldn't normally talk to, walking down the street. Probably had some inappropriate affiliations. And
doesn't matter. This
I would just stop them. I would just stop them and be like, yo, have you seen a little black and white dog? And I mean, at one point I was going down an alley and in between these two buildings, and there's just a group of maybe 6 to 8 guys that's like shooting dice on some milk crates. Like, it sounds like I'm making this shit up, but that's literally what they were doing. Sitting on milk crates, playing dice. And I was like, have any of you seen a dog? Just stopped a mid roll. Have any of you seen a little black and white dog? They're like, nah. I was like, well, if you do, go tell campus security. And they're like, all right. And just going on. And like, yeah. And then like right before I went back to campus, I was just like walking around, just still kind of yelling his name. Just kind of giving up at this point. Like, I was running around for like 20 minutes. And I was like, fuck. I was like, if he's walking or running off somewhere, chased after something, he's long gone. Like, we're in Chicago. I was like, there's no way. I was like, even if we were right off the Dan Ryan. I was like, if he got on the highway, like, fuck. Like, I was destroyed.
Oh,
yeah. And I'm walking, I was still yelling his name, and this guy stopped. He's like, again, just very much a street character. not a person you would normally talk to probably on the street. And he's like, man, he's like, you lost your puppy? I was like, yeah. I was like, you seen him a little dog? And he's like, nah. He's like, I don't know what I would do if I lost my dog, man. He's like, you with the school? I was like, yeah. He's like, man, if I see him, I'll let someone at the school know. I was like, thank you. Like, he was such a good dude. I was like, so you should not judge people based off their appearances. But
yeah.
And also, everyone loves their dog.
So
except for dog fighters.
What you need to do here is finish also, the fucking story.
I didn't lose my dog. Yeah. So I get back to the fraternity house, and he had gotten into another stairwell, and one of the other brothers found him. And I literally got back there, and they're just like holding my dog. I was like, oh, thank God. And he was the happiest puppy. And I was the happiest Brandon.
So here's the thing.
And we lived happily ever.
The guys you left him with, what did they say when you got back? Did they just like, oh, we don't know where he is?
Yeah. To be fair, we were all drinking.
Still.
And I don't know that I specifically left him with someone.
So you just left him upstairs, and you just kind of.
I might have just left him like in a room.
And be like, watch my dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But again, it was on like the second or third floor. Like, he had to travel like 3 floors to get anywhere.
Yeah.
Which is why I was freaked out. And also why he didn't actually get anywhere. He didn't actually leave or go anywhere. He literally like walked like one door over. Somehow he probably followed someone like into the stairwell and then just got locked in the stairwell.
And it also makes sense as to why when you get back to the floor you were on, you're like, my dog's not in this specific room. I need to run around Chicago to find him. Like, to think
there's two stairwells, and I went up and down the other stairwell.
But in the thought process of in the time it took me to go across the street and back to here, he must be on the highway. Like,
yeah.
Granted,
well, he wasn't in the house.
Yeah, he was though.
Well, not as far as I knew.
But yeah, even drunk doesn't help. But when you lose something that important, you don't think rationally.
Oh, you lose your mind. Like,
because I can imagine me, like, if I was in a situation like that, and I would have been way more irrational, like angry at like whoever's around. I would have been like taking it.
I was angry at myself. That was the I was angry at myself for losing him.
I mean, because it's different because you didn't leave him with. If I left him with a specific person and came back, I would be so. The rage I would have towards that person for potentially losing my dog. Like, if something happened to my dog on someone else's watch.
I think and not to say like I just left it. Like, I think I legit, like you said, it was like there was a group of people, and I was like, someone like, yo, like, watch my dog. Like,
you didn't sit there and be like, hey, can you watch him real quick?
You hold him on a leash. Like, yeah, no. Half the time he wasn't even on a leash in Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, we would sleep on the couch, and the dude would just curl up next to me and would not leave. Yeah. Like,
oh no, I know. I was there at your Rose Bowl when we brought him along, and another house dog that was just Like, I think I fell asleep on the second floor, just like on a couch in the hallway. And then there was just a dog kennel next to me, but the dog, someone else's dog, was just there. But yeah, with Molly, I'm way more of like the protective dad with her, to where I don't let her off leash. Like, I've had my roommate take her.
Oh, I don't let Jack off anymore.
Well, yeah, but like my roommate, like when she'll get home, she'll be like, "Hey, Molly, you gotta go potty," and like just open the door. Molly will just go outside and just pee in the yard and then run right back inside. Nothing has happened, but my brain goes, what if something fucking happens? Yeah. Like, I don't like that happening because...
What if today's the day she decides to chase a goose?
Like... Well, I know specifically because if I'm walking and Molly's in front of me, she doesn't have the fucking dexterity to get out of the way of my feet. Like, she just ends up under my fucking feet. Like, she's never going to dodge a car. She has the... athletic ability of the potato that she shaped like.
She's a special dog.
She is. I love her to fucking death. But she, like, you could, there's nothing she can dodge. Like, she'd be the worst at dodgeball.
She's played with Jack a couple times in her life, and I feel like she just doesn't know how to handle him because he's so like small and spunky and just energetic, and she's like, what are you?
No, she's fine. But, well,
he's also an asshole. So
yeah, because he gets too, like, he'll get upset too easily and like.
Well, when he's with me, again, when he's not with me, he's the perfect little angel.
Yeah, he nips at people when you're around. But like when we go to Jay's house, Molly wants to explore. She wants to get a feel for her surroundings first. But then her dog, Riley, the like 90-pound lab, wants to play. So she'll
also Jack's best friend.
Yeah, she'll run, but she'll like run in circles around the yard. Just a description of this dog real quick. Her favorite toy is a brick. Like, she grabs a brick and just bites it and runs it down the driveway.
Flips it over.
Yeah, that's the kind of dog we're dealing with. But when Molly's there, Molly's like way more like reserved and like, okay, let me see this new area. Let me sniff around a bit. Riley just runs. And Molly, best I could describe Molly as a border collie mix. If you want to know what she looks like, look at the Instagram page. But she's just a fluffy black potato. So she's a wandering around. She's probably about 30, 35 pounds on a chubby day.
That's fair.
Wander around the yard. And then Riley will run and then just run right in front of her and stop. So Molly will like run into her. And she's like, I get it. She's like, I get you're trying to play. I'm not about it right now. And it's one of those things like when you... It's like your dog and you, like, people's dogs start looking like the owners and vice versa.
Yeah.
It's more of a situation like she picks up my mannerisms because you can talk to Jay. You know me better than
most. To be fair, I'm pretty sure that's why Jack's an asshole. Like, because I'm an asshole and he just knows.
But I'm talking just like specific, because you've seen me get annoyed by something, specifically Jay. She's the one that pointed out to me. When I get mad before like anything happens, when I'm getting like to the point where I'm about to go overboard, I like kind of do this thing where I put like my tongue in my lip. Like, it's just like, like I'm thinking, like, I don't want to do something right. But like Molly gets that same face with Riley when she cuts her off. It's just like, okay, or this dog is three times my weight. She's just trying to have fun, but I'm not having a good time right now. I don't.
Molly ain't going to do anything about it. That's her thing.
She'll snap back eventually. Like, she hasn't done it with Riley because
she needs to snap back at Jack. Like, Jack just
should.
Like,
if they got enough time together, because, like, with my sister dog Clancy, Molly and Clancy play out, they wrestle all the time, and Molly gets fucking vicious. Like, Molly has it. She's like me.
I feel like Clancy's also just a little punk. So,
no, he's young.
Your sister's dog.
He's not even 2 years old yet. Yeah. But. It's not just her dog. It's like her friend's dogs have been over. It was like a blue tick, whatever. And he's super like invasive. Like, he'll get up in Clancy's face and like start licking his mouth, like doing like the dominance thing. And Molly does not like this dog. This dog tries to alpha her and she won't have it. And again,
which is funny because like Jack definitely did that and Molly just kind of rolled with it. Like, Jack snipped at Molly, like, trying to get her in place, and she, like...
Well, that's different. Off, like, no, he, like, snipped at her. Yeah. This dog is, like...
Oh, that's like, Jack's dominance thing. He won't do the licky thing or the butt-smelly thing. Jack's like, I'm gonna play with you. If you don't agree, I'm gonna snip at you, and then I'm in charge. Like,
but, like, this dog will, like, does dominance, like, he'll put his, like, chin on top of you, like, he'll, like, put his way. He's just encroaching on space.
Jack can't put his chin on anything. Yeah. So
Jack's got the Napoleon complex where he has to lash out. Molly is just trying to chill, and then when a bigger dog is, like, just trying to push their weight around, that's when she starts, like, snarling at him. And she'll, like, I've seen her fight back, but the fact that Jack is lower than her might have thrown her off.
Yeah, well, bigger dogs usually don't like smaller dogs. And, like, she's not that much bigger than Jack, but it's a thing. Like, he loves big dogs, and he loves bossing them around. Yeah. Like, it's, like we were talking about Riley, the big, like, you know, 90-pound lab. He loves running around with her and, like, you know, wrestling with her a little bit and chasing her. And she's good with little dogs.
Yeah.
But a lot of big dogs just won't deal with him. That's why when we board him, he would love to go play with the big dogs, but they won't let him they won't let him interact together.
He's definitely got the personality of a big dog.
We used to take him when we lived in New Jersey. We would take him to this dog park, and it was split, you know, small dogs and big dogs, but they shared a fence line. He would spend the entire time. There could be a dozen other small dogs in there. He would spend the entire time running the fence line with one big dog, just running it back and forth. And, like, other little dogs would, like, try and get over there and play with him again. He would just run over. He would just, like, act like they weren't even there. Unless one of the big dogs, like, wasn't about running on the fence line, he would, like, maybe run around with a little dog. He doesn't like him, though, generally speaking, like, especially when we're around. So I was quite surprised when we took him, when we boarded him, and they're like, dude, he made friends, and he was such good friends with these two other small dogs that are, like, his size. I was like, well, apparently I'm just a bad influence.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ones next door, like I said, on the one side that has the wooden picket fence. I mentioned it. And then the three big dogs, one of them's like a healer mix. One's like a golden or lab mix, something. I can't really see. I can only see them through the slats in the fence. Yeah. The other one I know because the owner said, he's like, yeah, they just got him when we moved in. He's a mastiff mix. And so he's a big old dog, and he's the loudest one. Yeah. So when him and Jack get going, and even when I'm just, like, walking around, like, my shed is kind of up next to our fence line, he'll sit there and he's just, and he just gets in it. Yeah. And I'm like, who's a good boy? You're a good boy. And he just stops and he looks at me. He's like, what? I mean, all right. And he's like, I can see his, like, tail wagging through the fence. Yeah. He's like, that's all you got to do. It doesn't matter how big they are. Just,
yeah, that's like when I was delivering.
Be buddies with them.
When I was delivering the one day, there was a Rottweiler in, like, the yard next to where I was going, a fenced-in yard. He, like, ran up on the fence, like, super aggressive, like, low barking at me. I was like, oh, hey, aren't you adorable? Look at you. And he, like, just stopped in his tracks, like, just looked so confused. It's like, I'm not prepared for this.
How'd you learn that? Like, did you grow up with dogs?
Yeah. Well, I always grew up with female dogs, but
no.
Yeah.
Your mom had a male dog.
Well, up at the end, when I was, like, a baby, we had a dog named Shotzi, who was a female shepherd lab mix. And then we got a second dog, which was a different shepherd lab mix, Ginger.
I was going to say, you all like them shepherd lab mixes. I
know. And then Ginger, who was, like, specifically my dog. Like, they got for me, but it was just a family dog. She ended up getting some kind of rabies thing, like, freaked out, was foaming and, like, running around the backyard and got out and took off. So we lost her. Shotzi, she got just really old, and we eventually put her down. But, like, that was Shotzi 3. My mom was, like, attached to the name Shotzi. Like, every dog they had was named Shotzi, and I hated it. I was like, what is
I hate when people do that.
What does that name mean? But then I was like, the next dog we get, we can't name it Shotzi. That's my one caveat. But it was for Christmas. We got Wallace, who was
a good dog.
German Shepherd Husky mix. They actually put him down recently because he was old. He was in such bad health.
I'll say he was very old because
I got him in. We got him in, like,
I knew that dog 10 years ago, and he was.
We got him in, like, 2007.
Yeah, he was a few years old then.
He
yeah,
wasn't a few years say. Old, no. He was a puppy, but he was still, he was like 13, 14 when they just put him down.
Well, I'm talking like, you know, 2009, 2010.
Oh, yeah.
I would actually go over to your house. Like, he was a few years old.
Yeah. Oh, he was.
And then I was like, yeah, so he was
a great dog. But
he was such a good dog.
He was always Wallace to me because that was what, Like his name is Wallace. Like that they adopted him as his name Wallace. But I was the only one to ever call him Wallace. Everyone always called him Wally or Wally Gator. But I always called him Wallace. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it was just instinctual, like learning the alpha thing. But anytime I've been around, it's specifically male dogs you have to do it with. I learned with like, especially raising from like a young male dog of like bigger breeds too, that do like the biting thing.
So that was, that's definitely how I learned. I mean, my very first one was, I mean, so my parents had a Malamute when I was like an infant. So I never knew that dog.
Yeah.
And then my first dog, like my dog was Lucky, and he was a German Shepherd, Norwegian Elkhound mix. He was a beautiful dog. He was like maybe, maybe like 60 pounds, between like 45 and 60 pounds. I don't know. I was small. He seemed big. I was small. He was like slightly aggressive, but I was also very young, but he was very protective of like my mother. And it was a weird thing where like every now and then, like if I said, like he would snip every now and then, but he was a very good dog, which I think having him made me not afraid of dogs. Like even when he would snip, I knew it wasn't that bad. And I got into this like, oh, I can handle dogs type of thing. And then our next dog growing up, we didn't get him until I was in high school. Like we had Lucky for quite a while. And then it was a few years. And then we got Harley. And it was more my sister's dog than mine. But they say it, my sister's dog. But it was really all of our dog. Harley was a pit bull, American bulldog lab mix. So I think he was half pit bull. And then the mother was American Bulldog Lab or something like that. He was a big old dog. So he was 100 pounds.
Let me talk about him real and quick.
Muscle.
As someone that wasn't an owner of that dog, coming to that, he had an electric fence. If you didn't know him, it'd be horrifying. To the house, you pull up in the driveway, he is, like I said, like 100 pound.
Bolts straight at you.
Looking that, just not an ounce of fat on him. Bolt towards your car, be at your driver's side door, barking.
Slobbering on it.
No, he was aggressively barking at you. So if you didn't know what the deal was, that might have been part of why I got that like alpha mentality with him too. Because it's just like, you get out of the car, it's like, what you doing? Like you just stand up to him and then he like breaks down. It's like, oh, hey.
So I raised him from a pup. Like he was the runt of the litter, and he ended up growing up to be the biggest one. I take that back. I think he had a brother that hit almost 120. A big brindle looking one. And Harley was a beautiful like reddish brown and white. Like he was such a pretty dog. Yeah. But yeah, so he could fit in the palm of my hand when he was a pup, and we had to bottle feed him. And then I was alpha. I remember feeding him. And then like, as he was a puppy and he started like nipping on your fingers and stuff, I was the one who like, he'd nip your fingers. I'd like grab his ear and like pull him down. Like, no. And I just get him out. And like, so I started alphaing him really young. So that dog listened to me no matter what. We could be wrestling around. He'd get super aggressive. I could literally just flip him over and just pin him down.
Yeah.
And he was just loving it. Like I would pin him down and he would look at me and just start licking me and like wag his tail. Like he was always having a good time. I mean, my sister couldn't even walk this dog. Like, I mean, he was well trained, but he would just drag her.
Yeah. Because she weighed about the same as he did.
Yeah, exactly. At that time, they were crazy. He was such a good dog. And I think that's kind of how I tried to raise Jack. So I had Jack the same way. So Jack was, you know, my roommate had a dog, and then our friend stayed with us, and he had an unneutered dog. And those two were at really, really close one once or twice and had a litter of pups. And I was like, so I think he wanted a female. I was like, all right, I want the first male. And the first male came out and I was like holding that one. And the second male came out. And then we had issues with the third one. And they were dealing with the issues like during labor, because the dog gave labor in our house. Yeah. And they were dealing with that. And I was holding one and two. And the first one was just kind of chilling there. The second one like nuzzled all up close on me and it was like loving on me. And I was like, well, I want that one more. Yeah. So between the two of them, like he was definitely being more affectionate. So I was like, okay, well, this one, I can't let him go. So That was mine. And I was like, his name is Jack. Mostly because he wasn't supposed to be a dog and he was supposed to be a chinchilla, but that's a different story. You didn't actually tell us how you got Molly. I interrupted you with my early dog stories.
Well, it never even came up. I was just still talking about Clancy.
No one cares about him.
I do. Oh, but that's the thing with Clancy. Going back to the alpha thing, I alphaed him a little too hard. So the second time I met him, he was following me around that. Like, he, they have like a big chair, not quite a love seat because it's one cushion, but just a wide chair fit with the couch that they got. He would stand on that and then like lean over the back of it. And they'd be like, Clancy, down, Clancy, down. And then I would look up like, Clancy, down. And then he would listen to me. And my sister got mad. It's like, why is he listening to you more than me? It's like, because I alphaed him too early.
I do the same thing with Jack and my wife. Like,
and your wife?
I'll tell Jack to do some.
He said, huh? I did the same thing with Jack and my wife. Chloe, get off the couch.
She'll try and tell him to do something. And I'll be like,
yeah,
I'll tell him. Like, she'll go outside and like she'll yell at him like not to run on the fence and bark with the neighbor dog because he gets all muddy. She's like, stop. I was like, I just go to the door. I'm like, Jack, you're done. And he just like looks at me. He's like, all right. And he walks over. She gets so pissed.
I kind of like, I mean, I'm by myself with it, but I'll do the same situation with Molly where you have him for so long that you don't have to say much. Cause like Molly, she'll bark at anything. She has like, but when she like, she'll start barking at anything. A lot of times, like if the front door is unlocked and like the air pressure like moves the front door, she'll start barking, or if she hears a car door slam. But I'll be in here like editing a podcast or just watching something on my laptop, and then she starts barking. I don't even have to talk. I walk out into the kitchen main area. I just look at her. I just point at my room. And then she like walks back in. She stops barking, walks back into my room. We don't have to have this conversation because you know you're in the wrong. But then she just sees the look on my face, like, oops. So anyway, so Molly's origin story, because you got your dog from just a friend, a roommate's dog had a puppy. And then you just, there's a puppy. So it's like, this is mine.
I caught my dog.
Mine was... Mm-hmm. In college, like I had a year in a dorm, 2 years in an apartment with three other guys. And there was always a discussion of, oh, it'd be awesome to have a dog, but we're not allowed to have dogs here. So in my head, I was like, the moment I get another apartment that allows dogs, I want to get a dog. That was basically the crux of it. Because it was right after you got Jack, or a couple months after you got Jack. It was a few months because Molly's slightly younger. Either way. So I move in with another guy, and this apartment allows dogs. It's like, oh, fuck, we need to get a dog. So we went to this one shelter in Lafayette. It was the first place we went. You walk in, and it's immediately, it's a independently owned, like, no-kill shelter. So the first thing you see when you walk in is a bunch of, like, older dogs. Like all that you see, like there was one is a Pomeranian named Gucci. That was like three or four, but they're all like barking. Like none of them are like happy. They're all pretty aggressive. There's like a big cage with a pit bull that was like attacking the bars. And I think he was like seven. And it was like, what's up with him? They're like, oh yeah, he hates people. Like that's just it. He just hates people. There has not been a single person he's liked. He hates every staff member. It's a nightmare trying to just take him to use the bathroom or to go pee or poop. But so it was like this place might not be the place we're looking for, because I was specifically looking for like a younger dog. But while we're just eyeballing what we saw there, just in the literally the last kennel was just a smaller kennel, just in the back of it was just this little black dog just kind of cowering in the back of the cage like, oh, it's really loud here, I don't like it. I'm like, what about that one? I'm like, oh yeah, you can look. And then they took her out on leash. She was super like nervous, but like within like 5 minutes of just sitting with her outside. But then she was like underneath my legs. Like she was hiding behind me now. So she was already like, and I was like sitting with my roommate. I was like, we can't leave without this dog. But they're like, oh, you can put her on like a 24-hour hold. like go get your like paperwork figured out with your apartment and then come back and get her. So it's like, all right, bet I'm doing this. I'm taking this dog home with me. And like they called, like they got her and her name was Baby or someone called her. She was 16 weeks roughly. So about 4 months old. But at that point, this was the second time they got her. Like they found her. She was abandoned as a puppy. They adopted her to someone and then they got her a second time because she was abandoned a second time. I think one of the girls working there called her Nikki. She's like, I kind of like that name for her. Just random fact about this girl. She had like a scar on her, like a substantial scar, like on her face. I noticed it wasn't something you're going to bring up, but she brought it up. She's like, oh yeah, I got bit in the face by a mastiff. So I was like, yeah, that sucks. But when that's your job field and you love what if you get bit in the face by a mastiff and still do the same job, you love what you do. But anyway, so I come back the next day, like, yeah, we're adopting her. And thinking about dogs, I only had male names. I couldn't but then it was a female dog. It's like, I don't have any female names picked out. I don't know anything. The weirdest part is like the drug Molly. At that point, because it was like 2013, that's when it was like gaining in popularity. Like the Tyga song Molly came out. So when we us fell out of the paper, it was like, what are you going to name her? And I was like, and then my roommate was just like, how about Molly? It's like, okay. Well, the name, his initial suggestion, which was with other friends, was Desire. Because we went to a strip club like the last month. It was the first time I ever been to a strip club. And the one I was really attached to was named Desire. And I was like, I'm not naming her after a stripper. At least not that name.
No.
But then I've met a stripper named Molly before or after that in Lafayette. But that's neither here nor there. But so I adopted her there. We named her Molly. He's like, why'd we pick Molly? He's like, I don't know. We just needed a name, and so we wrote it down. So she's been Molly ever since. But they were telling us, like, you came in at like the perfect time with her, like, because after you put the hold on her, like the next six people that came in tried to adopt her. But then so I got her. She was super skittish. You could put up pictures. Like, do you still have like pictures of him as like a brand new puppy? So that'll be the Instagram post, is like the puppy picture and then like a newest picture, because I have the picture of like the day one of having her at my house or at my apartment rather.
She looked pretty rough.
Too. Oh, she did. She was a lot smaller. She had less hair. She had like no hair on her ears because they were like, they thought she had fleas. So that's why it turns out she had like a really bad ear infection to where she like scratched the hair off her ears. $300 later to ear treatments. 300, yeah. Looking back now, 300 is like, that's an amount of money to spend. It's not going to ruin my life.
Yeah. Yeah. For my dog, I dropped $1,000 on my dog while driving because he needed emergency surgery once. Oh, yeah. The dumbass ate a rock.
Talk about dumbass. He jumped out a car window before.
He also did. He is the smartest dog I've ever met, but goddamn, he does some stupid shit.
Exactly. He's exactly like these. These two dogs are so similar to us, where it's like independently there's no limit, but when you match them up with someone, it just goes down the toilet.
You put the two of them together, we'll show you the video what happened. They just acted a fool together, like, ran around the apartment.
But yeah, so I think we discussed a lot about dogs.
We'll get something together here.
But on that note, this has been Wasted Information. I'm Jimmy.
I'm Brandon.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard and want to keep up with the show, make sure to subscribe on Spotify, Google, iTunes, or wherever you go to for podcasts. You can also follow us on Instagram at WastedInfo or email us at wastedinfopod@gmail.com. Until next time, this has been Wasted Information.